Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Thursday's show, a birthday salute for former multi-sport star Bo Jackson. I'll chat with Muckbill Yarborough about UEFA Champions League and English Premier League football. And we tip off with pro basketball and the NBA's hottest team, the Orlando Magic. Orlando has been one of the NBA's early season surprises. The Magic defeated the visiting Washington Wizards Wednesday night 139-120. It was Orlando's eighth consecutive victory. German forward Franz Wagner scored a season-high 31 points for the Magic, while his teammate Jalen Suggs matched a career high with 22 points. Orlando improved its record to 13 wins and 5 losses, one game behind the first-place Boston Celtics in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Out west, the defending NBA champion Denver Nuggets, playing at home in the Rocky Mountain state of Colorado, defused the Houston Rockets 134-124. Serbian star Nikola Jokic recorded another triple-double for the Nuggets, 32 points, 10 rebounds, and 15 assists. And Nuggets forward Michael Porter Jr. scored a season-high 30 points.
I was getting good looks. I missed a few down the stretch. Probably my most open looks I missed, but I was just getting a lot of good looks, and they were falling tonight. Nothing different.
Denver's head coach, Michael Malone, says he was happy to get the victory, but the NBA champions still need to iron out some wrinkles in the team's performance.
Obviously, a lot to clean up. Love cleaning up after a win, but it's good to beat that team. You know, they manhandled us twice down in Houston, so... But it was good to get a win.
The New Orleans Pelicans also got a win. The Pelicans beat the visiting Philadelphia 76ers 124-114. Now, Philadelphia played without Cameroonian star Joel Embiid, who was ruled out shortly before tip-off because of an illness. Pelican star Zion Williamson scored 33 points, making all but one of his 12 shots. Williamson says the sky's the limit for New Orleans if the team stays focused.
I don't think we have a ceiling. I say it all the time. We just need to become elite with the small nuances of the game. Like tonight, late game situation, we can't just give away 20-point leads like that, because in the playoffs, you know, if that's where we're trying to go, we won't make it, or that'll cost us a game, and every game matters.
In other NBA games, Wednesday night, the Los Angeles Lakers routed the host Detroit Pistons 133-107. It was a franchise record 15th consecutive loss for the Pistons. In Canada, the Toronto Raptors beat the Phoenix Suns 112-105 to snap the 7-game winning streak of the Suns. Scotty Barnes scored 23 points for Toronto, while the Cameroonian Pascal Siakam had 22 points. Kevin Durant scored 11 of his 30 points in the fourth quarter for Phoenix, after missing 2 games because of a sore foot. In 2 more NBA results, the Memphis Grizzlies beat the visiting Utah Jazz 105-91. And in a matchup between California-based teams, the Los Angeles Clippers sailed past the host Sacramento Kings 131-117. More NBA news. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban is selling a majority stake in the team as we hear now from the AP's Gethin Coolbaugh.
Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban has entered into an agreement to sell a majority stake in the NBA franchise to the family that runs the Las Vegas Sands Casino Company. It was announced Wednesday. The deal could be completed in the coming weeks. The agreement would be in the valuation range of $3.5 billion, according to a person who spoke to the Associated Press. Cuban would retain control of basketball operations in the deal. The company is controlled by Miriam Adelson, widow of casino magnate Sheldon Adelson. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Bo Jackson, who is celebrating his 61st birthday on this Thursday. Bo was born Vincent Edward Jackson in Bessemer, Alabama, back on November 30th, 1962. Bo Jackson, the only professional athlete in history to be named an All-Star in two major North American sports, the National Football League and Major League Baseball. Bo played college football as a running back for the Auburn Tigers, and he won the Heisman Trophy in 1985. He played in the NFL for the Los Angeles Raiders and in Major League Baseball for the Kansas City Royals, the Chicago White Sox, and the California Angels. Also, Bo was a big part of a Bo Knows advertising campaign for Nike Sports Apparel. Happy 61st birthday, Bo Jackson. In European club football, 12 teams have now advanced to the round of 16 in the prestigious UEFA Champions League. Joining me now for some insights is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabarow. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Mukbil, let's kick off with your beloved Gunners of Arsenal firing on all cylinders. The Gunners rout the French club Lens 6-0. Your reaction, Mukbil?
Honestly, I don't even know what to say. I don't know where Arsenal came from, but, you know, they really came out to make an imprint early on in the game with a goal from our new acquired Kai Havertz, who's been on a roll. He had a huge goal against Brentford in the EPL this past weekend, super late in the game. He's been playing well for his home country, Germany, and he started us off by scoring really good goal 13 minutes into the game. Now, interestingly enough, with the 6-0 victory, regularly when teams score like that, you'll have repeat goal scorers. We had six separate goal scorers for the six goals against Lens. So it was a team effort, absolutely.
Mukbil, as we take a look at this week's UEFA Champions League matches, are there a few other teams that maybe caught your eye?
I would definitely have to say that some important wins were Man City beating Leipzig 3-2, and they came from behind to win. That game was just a game for, I would say, egos. These two teams have clashed before last season as well. I believe Leipzig beat Man City once, but City came back and beat them with a bigger goal differential. But yeah, both teams are in to the knockout phase. So this was just purely for, you know, bragging rights, just to say we're still who we are. a lot of people have had this thought, and myself included, that Man City hasn't really looked like the Man City, the treble Man City that we saw last season due to a lot of heavy injuries and obviously losing Gundogan to Bayern Munich. But Kevin De Bruyne, huge, probably one of the best midfielders in the world, has not played for them all season due to his injury. He's expected to be back early next year. Once he's back in rotation, it'll definitely be a different team. So, I would say that Man City versus Leipzig game, another game that I think had huge implications was Galatasaray versus Manchester United. We will be talking about EPL today, so it's only right that I talk about this Man United team who, for whatever reason, found a way multiple times yesterday to just not get the job done. They were up 2-0 at one point. Galatasaray scores a goal to make it 2-1. United then goes up again 3-1. Then somehow lets Galatasaray back in the game for a 3-3 draw. That's huge because that basically, it still leaves a little room for United to possibly make it through. But that, in essence, that draw helped Galatasaray a lot more because their pathway to the knockout phase now is a lot simpler.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, about this week's UEFA Champions League matches. Mukbil, I mentioned how 12 teams are now through to the round of 16. Why don't you run down the 12 for our VOA listeners?
Absolutely. Of the 12 teams that are through, 12 out of the 16 teams are through. That is Manchester City, as I mentioned, RB Leipzig, Real Madrid, Inter Milan, Real Sociedad, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Borussia Dortmund, Atletico Madrid, Lazio, Arsenal, and PSV Eindhoven. Interestingly enough, PSV is in the same group as Arsenal, and the main reason why they got pushed through automatically is because Arsenal had such a big defeat against Lens. So it was kind of like PSV was saying, thanks, guys, for pushing us through.
Well, Mukbil, let's switch over to the English Premier League, widely regarded as the world's most popular football league. Tight race at the top right now. Your Gunners of Arsenal, they top the table with 30 points from 13 matches. The Gunners followed by defending champion Manchester City with 29 points. Liverpool next with 28 points. Aston Villa also with 28 points. Mukbil, what does that big win in the Champions League mean for Arsenal as it gets ready to resume its Premier League campaign?
I think, Sonny, every single game matters, but I think Champions League for teams, because it is highly regarded as a league of champions, you're playing the greatest teams in the respective European leagues. So when you come out with a victory like that, what it should do for a team, or what you would expect it, is just to continually build on the confidence that, hey, not only are we leading our league, but we're leading in the group of a group of other champions across Europe. So I think for me, when I'm looking at it, I'm just seeing that Arsenal is continually finding ways to get other players involved, and just making sure that, you know, that these games, that every single game matters. I believe last year the problem that Arsenal had was they had such a huge gap between them and Man City at one point, and really, I think it was over a 3 or 4 game lead, and just somehow towards the end just crumbled unnecessarily, having 3 games where they gave up about 8 or 9 points. Really, those type of things are unacceptable for a team that wants to, you know, compete for that Premier League title. But what we're seeing is, like I mentioned earlier, is that Man City is no longer looking like the boogeyman that we saw last year, and teams are playing them and they're playing them very well, and it's becoming very challenging for Man City to get these automatic wins that they normally used to. Similarly, it happened last week where they played Liverpool, who is also just 1 point behind them. That is, they're in the third place position. Man City was leading a majority of the game, and Liverpool was able to score late just to equalize and come out with a 1-1 tie. That's huge. So now some EPL games that are coming up. Man City and Tottenham have implications for the top five, because Tottenham is right in that fifth place position where they can kind of get comfortable and try to make make their way to break that top four as well, with 26 points. Tottenham plays Man City this week. Tottenham is coming from a two home game losses recently, and having lost three of their last games. So they have to find a way to either get a draw or a win against Man City. They usually play up to their competition as well. So it's going to be a very, very tough night for Man City. Now, that makes it very good for Arsenal and Liverpool, that should have relatively easier competition coming up. Arsenal's playing the Wolves, and Liverpool is playing Fulham. You would expect them to be able to get those jobs done.
Right now, Muckbill, 6 points separate the top six teams in the EPL. We're roughly one-third of the way through the season. Do you think we'll continue to have that bunched-up scenario as the season progresses, or will one or two teams pull away?
Very good question, Sonny. I think if I'm looking at it, I've always said that this season was going to be between Arsenal, Man City, and Liverpool. So I see them three kind of pulling away. Aston Villa has really, really shocked me this season. They were in the top five from the beginning, maybe knocked down to sixth place at one point, but really have always kind of stood the test of time so far. So Aston Villa is the one team that is that questionable team to be able to see, can they really run this marathon, you know, or are they maybe exhausting themselves or running at a pace that they can't keep? So that's the one team that is a question mark for me. Tottenham is kind of showing us what we've seen in the past, that, you know, they come out, you know, with a bang at the start of the season, but really don't really make too much noise beyond that. But they still could. 26 points is still right there. And Manchester United is another team at 24 that has also shown us that late in seasons, if they start clicking the right way, because they have that talent in that roster, they might be able to break top four too. But I would say Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool, that seems to me like the top three that will continue to keep pushing each other forward and kind of interchanging week in and week out.
Muckbill, as the Premier League gets ready to resume matches this weekend, let's take a look at the goal scoring charts. Norwegian star Erling Haaland at the top with 14 goals for Man City. He's followed by the Egyptian Mohamed Salah, who's bagged 10 goals for Liverpool. Muckbill, do you see Salah as the most impactful African player this Premier League season?
Yeah, I would definitely have to say that Mo Salah has been the most impactful African player, absolutely. As I just mentioned, Liverpool is one of those teams that I think are going to have a long battle with Arsenal and Man City for the league title this year. We knew they had potential to do it last year, but for some reason just were unable to get the job done. And they really didn't show that quality that we normally see Liverpool to have. But this season, they seem like they've kind of figured it out, and they should be, you know, in that top three conversation, as I mentioned. So Mohamed Salah with his 10 goals, I definitely would say is the most impactful African. Another player of African descent is Alexander Isak. He's a Swedish national, but his parents and his he's a descendant of Eritrean parents. He has 7 goals for Newcastle and has definitely been one of the most exciting players to watch this season. The young man is 24 years old, so be on the lookout for him to continually keep getting better. And he's going to be on the radar for a lot of big clubs. So I don't know how long he stays at Newcastle, but it'll be interesting to see. Another African player is Nicholas Jackson. Nicholas Jackson is a Senegalese player that plays for Chelsea. He has, at the moment, 6 goals for Chelsea this season and will, and I should say he should be playing for that Senegal side for AFCON as well. So 22 years old, really, really has come to assist Chelsea in their hopes to try to get back in the mix. They are 10th at the moment in the for the season, but they had a terrible start. So maybe the tides are changing for Chelsea as well. So we'll see.
Finally, Muckbill, we open with the Gunners. Let's give the Gunners some more Sunny Side of Sports glory. Bukayo Saka, the 22-year-old for the Gunners of Nigerian descent. What has he meant for Arsenal this season, Muckbill?
Bukayo Saka is what we like to call our star boy. This kid is, you know, he's phenomenal. He's not only is he scoring, but he's assisting as well, leading all assists in Champions League play as well. So that shows you that not only is he getting the job done, but because he is such a threat on that right wing, it causes so many teams to want to double team him. And he actually mentioned that early this season, saying that the way that teams are playing me is very different than how they were playing me last year. So he's just trying to find different ways to be impactful. And he's really getting the job done, still putting himself in positions to score, but really getting his teammates involved as well. So I think to me, you know, you can ask Arsenal fans across the board. Bukayo Saka is one, if not the most important player on that team. So, yeah, super exciting for the Gunners. I'm excited to see what they continue to do for the rest of the season.
Talking Premier League and UEFA Champions League football with my VOA colleague, Muckbill Yabaro. Thanks, Muckbill.
Thanks, Sonny.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com.
Host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to sikus, afrobeat to dumbolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 0905 and 2005 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week, for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes, and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
In African athletics, runners from Ethiopia and Kenya won the men's and women's titles earlier this month at the New York City Marathon. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, let's listen to my post-race report. World Athletics will announce the winners of its Male and Female Athlete of the Year awards on December 11th. The nominees were unveiled on October 11th. And here's a Sunny Side of Sports suggestion for my friends at World Athletics. Next year, maybe you should wait until after the New York City Marathon before you announce the nominees. As I look at the list of nominees for Female Athlete of the Year, I don't see the name of Helen Obiri. The Kenyan Obiri used a superb finishing kick to win the New York City Marathon women's race in 2 hours, 27 minutes, and 23 seconds. She also won the Boston Marathon in April. And I think finishing on top of the podium at those two major American marathons certainly, pardon the pun, puts you in the running for World Athlete of the Year. The day after her big victory in New York, Helen Obiri showed off her winner's medal on top of one of New York City's skyscrapers, the observation deck at Summit One Vanderbilt. Helen was joined by her daughter, Tanya, and reporters asked Helen, how does it feel to be a New York City Marathon champion?
It was so amazing for me, you know, when it was the finish line. So you can just imagine so many people watching you all over the world. So it was an incredible moment for me. I knew this is my time, this is my right moment. Winning in New York, it's just a beautiful marathon, and it's a beautiful city. So many people were cheering, so many crowds. So I wanted to do extra hard so that I can make so them happy, because they were friendly people, the race organizers. So I'm so happy, and I'm so excited to come back next year.
Also on top of that New York City skyscraper was the New York City Marathon men's champion, Ethiopia's Tamarat Tola, who clocked a course record of 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 58 seconds.
My feeling is happiness, because I know this is all about majors. I ran before also a lot of majors, but I not win before. I win world champion, but I not win world majors. So I am happy with win majors. It is like world champions for me.
Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Tamarat Tola of Ethiopia and Helen Obiri of Kenya, the 2023 men's and women's champions at the New York City Marathon. A total of 51,402 runners completed the big marathon in New York. Meanwhile, this Kenyan great made a special recording for us after winning the 2005 New York City Marathon.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And that wraps up the November 30th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.